Congregation, please stand. On behalf of the Alford family, I want to welcome you today to this funeral and memorial service for Mr. Townsley Alford, a faithful and a true servant of God, a faithful and godly member of this congregation who will be sadly missed. It's certainly a comfort to the family to have you with them on this sad occasion. And it's always good to look to the Lord for his presence and his comfort and his blessing as well. As intermoderator of the congregation here, I'd like to extend sympathy on behalf of Coleraine Free Presbyterian Church to the immediate family circle and also to the wider family circle and many friends gathered here in the house of God today. We trust that the Lord will draw near to each grieving heart to bring needed comfort and strength at this very difficult and trying time. No doubt the Reverend Higginson, who knows the family much better than I do, will have something more to say about our brother Townsley and individual family members when he comes to bring the Word of God in a little while. I never had the privilege of meeting Townsley, and I only met William and Ian when I visited Townsley in the nursing home on Wednesday evening, a little while before he died. And it was good to be with the boys to offer prayer and to bring comfort to their hearts through the reading of God's precious word. So it would be very difficult for me to pay a fitting tribute to our departed brother. The Reverend Higginson can do that much better. I trust you understand that. We're going to have our opening hymn of praise today. First hymn on the hymn sheet, When My Life Work Is Ended, and I Cross the Swelling Tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see. I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and the smile will be the first to welcome me. As it is the custom in our church at this time, we usually just remain seated for the singing of our hymns, and we'll do so again today. Let's all join in together. Think about the words as we worship God today. Now we're going to have a short program. We have to be out of the church for about 1:45. And so I want to announce all those who will take part in the service and without any interruptions. First of all, we're going to have a prayer offered by Calvin Alford, and then the tribute by William, and then we'll have an instrumental by Ian. Following will be the message by the former minister of the congregation and good friend of the Alford family, the Reverend Roger Higginson. We're glad that he's able to be here today to bring this tribute to his servant and his friend and servant in the Lord. So first of all, we'll ask Calvin to come to offer prayer, please. Thank you, Calvin.
Thank you all for coming. Let's just sell our hearts together just for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we do give you praise and thanks that, as the Bible says, beside thee there is none else. And we thank the Lord that there is not one person in the whole entire universe that is such as what you are. We thank the Lord that you're loving, you're caring, you're tender-hearted. Lord, you're the God who can give strength. And we thank the Lord that you're King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so, Lord, we praise your name today, because not only are you that, you are our Saviour. And so, Lord, we just thank you for the remembrance of my granda. We thank the Lord for saving them. And we thank the Lord that we have a wonderful, wonderful memories that you allowed us to have. And so, Lord, we praise your name today, because without you, this wouldn't be the way it is. And so, Lord, we thank you that he was a man of God. We thank you, Lord, that he loved the scriptures. He loved to speak about them. He loved to quote the memory verses. And, Lord, you can never get sick of those verses. And so, Lord, we thank you for that, for giving us that time. And so we just want to praise your name today. But, Lord, we need your comfort today. We need your strength today. But, Lord, that is nothing for you, because there is nothing too hard for thee, as the scripture says. And so, Lord, we just ask you to help Ian, help William, and help all the ones who would take part. And bless us all today. But, Lord, in one thing, glorify your precious name. Lord, we ask you to bless the word that goes forth today. My granddad would want the word to be blessed. He would want people to hear of the love of Jesus. He would want them for them to hear how wonderful that he is. And so, Lord, we offer to you today, because we know that you're able. So, Lord, we leave it before you. And it's in Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen and amen.
Over the last few weeks, we knew that the events would lead to this day. After all, as my father used to say at funerals, quoting the Book of Common Prayer, "Man that is born of a woman hath but a short time to live, and is full of misery. He cometh up, he is cut down like a flower, he fleeth as it were a shadow, and never continueth in one stay." In the midst of life, we are in death. We heard him say those words often. Dad became these words peacefully on Wednesday evening. He had told those around him that he had been here long enough and thanked them for their care. My father loved words, and right until the end he was full of poems and songs and witty remarks and, of course, Bible verses. "If your soul is getting thin, take it up to Paddy Flynn. Pretties and plates, roast beef and unbelief. The man with the money goes down to the room, and the man within stands and looks down. If at first you don't succeed, Try again. 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4. And it goes on and on. The alphabet. Backwards. He often would say, William, you're suffering from a vast multitude of disarranged ideas. Sacred Heart. Tara Oligeller. And of course, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Although he loved words, he was not really a reader. Apart from the newsletter and the farming life, the only book I ever saw him holding in his hand was the good book, the Bible. My dad read the Bible every morning and every night. He read it with his gold-rimmed glasses that he got in his early 50s, when he finally accepted the fact that his arm could not be stretched out far enough for him to see the hymn book clearly. And he'd conceded and bought a pair of glasses. But as his eyes grew dimmer through macular degeneration, he then stooped over the Bible with a magnifying glass. And when that had failed, he resorted to the words that were buried deep in his heart, which he had committed to memory. And those words nourished his heart and lifted his spirits right until the end. My father was a man of deep faith, both personal and public. He was raised Christian, and later in life as an adult, he committed himself to the claims of the Christian message by accepting Christ personally and in his heart and believing it. His going to church and to meetings was the outworking of what he believed in his heart, not as a show to be seen as a good living person, but the actions of somebody who had believed and wanted to hold these beliefs in community with others. Dad prayed on his knees, literally, even until recent times, by his bedside, as Mum did as well, and we often saw them doing that. And when Mum could not walk anymore because of her stroke, Dad did twice the kneeling, reading and praying with Mum every night. Only a few days ago, with a rattly chest and a croaky voice, he whispered to me with firm conviction, stand up for Jesus. You soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. Dad was a fiercely loyal man. He was a man of faith, but he was also a faithful man. He was loyal to the Ilfords, his family. We were told that in the earlier days, if you mess with one of the Ilfords, you mess with them all. He was loyal to Mother in sickness and in health. He was loyal to his beliefs, even though sometimes it cost him. Growing up, we did not get everything we asked for, but we never lacked anything we needed. Dad was strict. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said. But we were taught to be honest, straight talking, grateful, looking out for neighbours, working hard, whether it's in the fields or in the books, and to do our duty. Today marks the end of an era in this little branch of the human family, because Dad was the last, as we know, of 13 Ilfords, whose lives span over a century, even before Northern Ireland existed as a country. All of us here from the Ilford families grew up with these stories. We remember the characters that were our aunts and our uncles. The tragic loss as one by one they succumbed, mostly to heart disease. And then the joy as Auntie Nellie got past 70, which for us was a major achievement. Dad survived many heart attacks, but he had a strong heart, believing and trusting that God had fixed him through all of these procedures. Dad was a simple, solid, straightforward, accepting man. He wasn't flashy or fussy, and even in his final days, he never complained once. If you asked him, "How are you?" he would say, "I could be worse, but I'm grateful." Dad never used a mobile in his life. He never sent a text. Email, internet, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok were all foreign language to him. You see, my father was not a social influencer. Yet he had influence. He left a legacy that is beyond this life. As the Bible says, he being dead yet speaks. A legacy takes time to create, not just a few seconds in front of a camera doing something spectacular. It's actions and its attitudes caught rather than just consistently taught. He handed those down to us, his family and his children and his friends. So as we give thanks to God and say our goodbyes to Townsley Ulford, this charming father-in-law, this cute grandfather, this witty entertainer, this perfect gentleman, this faithful father, this devoted disciple, this supportive neighbour, we say, as Dad would say often himself, Dad, you got a core grip yet. Thank you.
Can I thank you so much to the Alford family for having me to be here today to take part in this very special funeral service for Mr. Townsley Alford. I want to extend my sympathies, of course, to the whole family, but especially to James and to William and to Ian. William, that tribute was tremendous. It really spoke to my heart and summed up your father so, so well. And thank you so much, Ian, for playing for us today. And can we pray tribute to you, Ian, as well, for your care, for your father over the last 9 years, and before that for your mother, Jean. It's been a wonderful, wonderful testimony. And we know that the Lord has blessed you in so many ways as a family, with Jean and with Townsley. Townsley Alford was a great friend to me. He was a great gentleman. He was a wonderful Christian. He was a wonderful encourager. And I first met God's servant in 2008 when I came to pastor this church, and along with one of the elders here, Mr. Melville Smith, I think it was the first visit that I ever conducted out there on the road to Ballycastle going out of Bushmills. Townsley and Jean Alford, they were in great health and great spirits in those days, and we really forged a friendship over the 12 years that we were here and had the privilege of getting to know God's servant in so many, many different ways. And I just want to read some scripture today from the book of Proverbs. So many portions that we could have turned to, so many texts that we could have considered, and yet there's one text. And if you knew Townsley Alford, you'll know exactly what this text is. Proverbs chapter 3, I'm going to read from verse number 1 down to verse number 6. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If you knew Townsley Alford at all, you will know that this verse 6 of Proverbs chapter 3 was his life's verse. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He had this verse of scripture upon his wall. He had this verse of scripture, of course, in his Bible. But he had this verse of scripture engraved upon his heart. Sometimes he would quote all of the verse. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And sometimes he would just quote small parts of it. Maybe at the end of a story, or at the end of an anecdote, or relating a life's experience, he would smile and put his finger above his head and say, in all thy ways, in all thy ways, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Or at other times, just quoting the second part of the verse, he shall direct thy paths. Townsley knew this verse to be true, not just because it's in the Bible, but he knew this verse to be true because he had proved it by his personal life's experience. This is a life verse for so many. It's hung upon many's a wall and many's a home. It was the first verse that I ever learned as a little boy, because my aunt and uncle, Christian people, living in a cottage in a place called Craigie in the county down between the Temple Crossroads and Saintfield, they had this same verse on their mantelpiece wall. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3 verse 6 has been put on many's a greeting card. It's been quoted at many's a wedding. It's been recited and rehearsed at many's a funeral, or an ordination service, or a graduation service, or a Thanksgiving service. It has been proved the world over. It has stood the test of many generations. It has been the watchword of many's a Christian, many a family, many a home, many a family circle, many a church. It's been quoted times without number. It's been preached on undoubtedly millions of times since the New Testament era. It has proved the test of trial, the test of hardship, calamity, adversity and personal need for many centuries. Proverbs 3 and verse number 6 is an anvil that has worn out many hammers. Though claimed and owned and borrowed and used by thousands of Christians, it is still good for us today. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I just want to leave you simply with two thoughts that I see very clearly in this verse of Scripture. This verse speaks to us of God's guidance, and it also reminds us of our obligation. God's guidance. He shall direct thy paths. You know, in this world of ours, we all need guidance. We all need direction. If we're humble enough and honest enough to admit that, we can find all the guidance that we need and more in this verse of Scripture. You see, we are born into this world with great needs. We recognize early in life that we need purpose in life. We need guidance. We need direction. We need assurance of who we are, of where we are going, and we need assurance of where we will be at the end of life's journey and on into the life hereafter. And in and of ourselves, we are unable to find the guidance that we need in and of ourselves. We need someone outside of ourselves who is wise and knows the way ahead and knows the pitfalls and the snares and the temptations that life brings. And to a certain degree, we find that from our parents, we find that from our peers. But ultimately, we find the guidance that we need, not only morally and practically, but spiritually and eternally, we find the guidance that we need from God himself. You see, the Bible depicts humanity. Every single one of us, the Bible depicts humanity as being lost. And sometimes we are lost and we don't even know it. Sometimes we are lost, but we are too proud to admit it. Maybe some of the men folk, you've been in the car, you've been on holidays, you've been going somewhere with your wife and family, and you're not sure of where you're going, but pride doesn't allow you to acknowledge that or to admit that or to roll down the window and to ask somebody else for direction. To be lost means to be not sure of where we are, not sure of where we're going, not sure of how to get there, not sure if we're on the right road. And the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Or to quote the great prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah says, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill and have forgotten their resting place. And in Matthew chapter 9, the Savior, beholding the great city of Jerusalem, was moved with compassion, because he saw this great multitude that fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep without a shepherd. We need guidance. And yet Townsley Alford's text reminds us that God is our guide. He shall direct thy paths. The psalmist said, this God is our God. He shall be our guide even unto death. The psalmist went on to say, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterwards receive me into glory. And the Welsh rugby fans for generations have stood in the terraces and sung that great old hymn, guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. Society used to recognize that God is guide, but in this modern day and generation, oftentimes we think we know better. How does God guide us? Where does God guide us? He shall direct thy paths. Well, first and foremost, the Lord wants to direct our paths to the cross. God wants to direct our paths to the cross. Humanly speaking, the cross is our beginning place with God. We can go nowhere with God and we can go nowhere for God unless, first of all, we come to the cross. He shall direct thy paths. And first and foremost, the Lord wants to direct our paths to the cross. You say, well, maybe today, what do you mean by the cross? Sometimes we have this idea that whenever in Christian circles we talk about the cross, we're talking about an emblem, or we're talking about an ornament, or we're talking about an image, maybe something that is on the top of a church spire, or something that is embossed in the front of a Bible, or something that we wear around our neck, or something that we carry in our pocket. And the world, and even the church, has reduced the cross to something that is abstract and almost meaningless. But whenever the Bible speaks about the cross, it's speaking about the cross of Christ. The cross in which our Savior died. And it's unfolding, you see, God's great plan of redemption and salvation. On the cross, the Son of God suffered at the hands of men and was stripped of his garments and was crowned with thorns and was beaten beyond recognition. The Bible says his back became like a ploughed field. They made furrows on his back with their scourge. But more than suffering at the hands of men, the Son of God, the sinless, spotless Son of God, who had become a man on the cross, shed his precious blood and took responsibility for guilt and for sin and for shame, and actually became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And on the cross he took away sin and opened a way back to God through the sacrifice of himself. And it was Isaac Watts who wrote the words of that wonderful hymn, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride." And so whenever we think about our footsteps and the Lord directing our paths to the cross, we're thinking about the work that the Savior performed for us upon the cross. Maybe you say, well, why is it so important for us? About 2,000 years after it happened, what relevance does the cross have for me? You see, friends, the Bible tells us that God made us. He created us. And he created us to know him, to have fellowship with him, to glorify him, to enjoy him, to walk with him, and to be of use to him. But our sins have robbed us of that wonderful privilege. Our sins have hid God's face from us. Our sins have separated us from God. And there's nothing that we can do in and of ourselves to pay for our sins, to atone for our sins, and to wash our sins away. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. All have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. Or as the old hymn writer put it, there was no other good enough to pay the price for sins. Jesus only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. It was only through the cross work of Christ, the Son of God, yielding up his life for our sins, that we could come to know God. And he, Almighty God, can direct our path to the cross. And maybe you say, well, if I come by faith to the Lord and I believe the message of the cross, well, what do I do? Will you simply put your faith and trust in Christ and repent of your sins? Townsley Alford, many years ago, had that wonderful experience of entering into newness of life. He maybe shared his testimony with you personally. And you saw the reality of it in his life. And he used to talk to me about Jean, whenever they got to know each other and they forged a friendship together before they get married, she would challenge him about the things of God and tell him that he needed a Savior. And then one time he attended a gospel mission just outside of Londonderry, I think it was in the Drumahoe area, and a faith mission pilgrim by the name of Merle Stafford shared the gospel with many people in that area, and many young men and women came to know the Savior, and Townsley was one of them. Merle Stafford. He used to quote that name over and over again. He used to tell me she was over 6 feet tall, and she had such an authority and such a love whenever she talked about the things of God. And then he would lift his eyes and say, "Merle Stafford, I had an interesting experience after hearing his testimony in his own home at a nursing home down in Port Stewart, a lady that used to come to her church on a Sunday night. And she would relate her testimony to me growing up as a young girl in Enniskillen. Her father died when she was young and left the family with lots of debt and trouble. And a Roman Catholic woman brought this lady into her home and nurtured them and cared for them. And she came to know the Savior herself. And she used to talk about this friend that she had, and they went to school together, and they played together, and they ran the streets together, away over in County Fermanagh, maybe about 80 years ago or 70 years ago. And she used to say to me, that friend of mine, she became a Christian. She introduced me to Christ, and then she went and became a pilgrim in the faith mission. And I said to her one day, can you remember her name? She said, Merle Stafford. And I said, there's a lovely man of God that comes to our church. And he talks all the time about Merle Stafford and how he has been saved through her influence and through her witness and through her testimony. You see, there was a time in Townsley's life whenever the Lord directed his feet to the cross. The Lord wants to direct our paths to the cross. And then he wants to direct our paths throughout life's journey. Coming to the cross is only the beginning. And then throughout our life's journey, the Lord can direct our pathway off the broad road onto the narrow road and directs our path through all of life's difficulties and all of life's decisions and all of life's discouragements and all of life's disappointments and all of life's duties or dangers or delights. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Townsley used to keep pigeons. And so often he would tell me this wonderful anecdote about whenever he was raising up these pigeons and feeding them and getting their diet right and they were breeding. And he would say, the mother pigeon, she raises up her own pigeons. She builds a nest. She cares for them. She teaches them to fly. And up there in the heavens, there are things that go on that we know nothing about. The pigeon might get attacked by a hawk, but by and by, whenever you take the carrier or the homing pigeon miles away from home, it's been trained up in the right way, and it's able to navigate its way home. And he says, isn't that just like the Christian life? How the Lord broods over us, he nurtures us, he teaches us, he leads us, he guides us, he directs our path throughout life's journey, and one day we will find ourselves coming home. You see, the Lord directs our paths to the cross. And then from the cross, the Lord directs our paths throughout life's journey. And grace that has led us safe thus far, one day that same grace will lead us home. And the Lord will direct our paths to the cross. From the cross throughout life. And throughout life, he will direct our paths one day into glory. Townsley has proved that verse. In so, so many ways, he's been to the cross. He's known the Lord leading him and guiding him throughout life. And just the other morning, he entered into Emmanuel's land itself. And that narrow way, with all of its twists and turns, with all of its hills and valleys, with all of its rough terrain, with all of its blessings, that narrow way has brought him into the celestial city itself. Jesus Christ said, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Townsley has entered into Emmanuel's land. And all throughout life's journey, since the Lord directed him to the cross, and from there on, he knew, he was sure, he was certain of his destiny. He knew where he was going. He spoke of it so often, especially in recent years with failing health. Just the desire to go home. Townsley hasn't left home. Townsley has gone home into glory itself. He was sure Thou wilt guide me with thy counsel and afterwards receive me into glory. Do you have that assurance? Do you have that certainty of God's guidance, guiding you to the cross, guiding you through life, guiding you into glory? Our text speaks very quickly and in closing of our obligation. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We don't like sometimes the word responsibility, but this verse calls us to responsibility. It calls us to acknowledge him. How do we acknowledge him? What's the manner in which we acknowledge the Lord? Well, the word acknowledge, it means know him. Learn from him. Discover him. Discern him. Experience him. Perceive him. It really means in all your ways, find out what God wants you to do. Seek his face. Ask him for guidance. Put God first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things shall be added unto you. The manner in which we are to acknowledge him. The means in which we are to acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge his person. His existence first and foremost. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I look through a telescope, I see evidence for God. I look through a microscope, I see the fingerprints of God all over his creation. And Mr. Alford testified to that. In all of creation, I see the handiwork of God. I know that God is real. I know that God exists, his existence and his attributes. That he's holy, he's wise, he's eternal, he's unchanging, he's just, he's righteous. He's true. He's all-knowing. He's almighty. He's all-powerful. He's kind. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's loving. Do you know the Lord today? Personally. Do you know the Lord as your Savior, as your friend, his person, then his precepts? We can't acknowledge the Lord if we don't acknowledge his word. All that we know about God that is accurate and real and true is found within the pages of Holy Scripture. God's commandments, God's counsel, and God's Christ, all found within the pages of God's word. And then, not only his person and his precepts, but his wonderful promises. Many today can testify to the reality of God's promises. He gives more grace. His grace is sufficient for us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And God's servant proved in a lifetime the promises of God. The promises of God. And I want to encourage all who know the Lord today, and especially this family, God's promises will hold good for you. We have a future as Christian people that's brighter than tomorrow. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy paths in all thy ways. That's the measure by which we acknowledge him. Not just in the small decisions in life. Not just in the big decisions. Not just at the hard times. Not just at the joyous times. Not just at Christmas or at Easter, at some other time when there's a little bit more focus on Christian things. But in all thy ways, in our sins and in our shortcomings, acknowledge him. Ask him for forgiveness, for cleansing, for salvation. In our faults and failings, acknowledge him. In our decisions and deliberations, acknowledge him. In our pleasures and our prosperities, acknowledge him. In our trials and tribulations, acknowledge him. And he shall direct our paths. What a verse of scripture. I can still see Townsley's face. In all thy ways. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He proved the truth of this verse. I wonder if you proved the truth of it. Maybe you'll begin today, and you'll acknowledge in your heart, I haven't acknowledged God really at all. I've left God out of my life. I don't really know him. I haven't really lived for him. I know someday I'm going to meet him, and that's a frightening thought if I don't know him and I haven't lived for him. And I want to begin by acknowledging that I need a Savior. And I want to acknowledge him by coming to the cross as he's directed me in his word to do so. And I want to lay all my burdens of guilt and sin and shame and uncertainty down at the cross. And then follow the Lord all the days of my life. And then one day, as the Lord directs my paths, I want to know for sure that I'm going to heaven and going to home. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. May God direct our paths afresh to the cross. As we leave this meeting today, as we leave this Thanksgiving service, may the Lord from this moment direct our paths throughout life according to his word. And then may the Lord direct us all one day into glory, into heaven itself. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. Townsley, from heaven's perspective, will never, for all eternity, regret that moment whenever, as a young man, he put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He proved the truth of this great verse: in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I'm going to ask Reverend Irwin just to close the service, and thank you so much for your time and attention.
I'd like to thank God's servant for the word today, for the comfort that it has been to us, and at the same time for the challenge that has been issued. He has talked about very solemn things. And then the closing moments, time of reflection. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to repent. If you want to have a glorious reunion with the one who's gone on before, it's time to seek him. Repent. Believe the gospel. Trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And prepare to meet God. The all-important thing. Prepare to meet God. Then that family circle will not be broken. That family circle will be united in the presence of Christ. A mother has gone on to glory. Father has now entered into glory. What about the rest of the family? Will you be present when the roll is called up yonder? We're going to sing the second hymn. And could I remind you that the Reverend Curran, a family friend, will be responsible for the short graveside service. We'll sing this hymn together. I'll offer a brief word of prayer, and then we'll go to the graveside for that service. The hymn number, the hymn on the hymn sheet, is called "What a Day That Will Be." There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. We'll remain seated again as we sing this hymn of testimony.
Thank you.
We thank thee for the sense of thy presence in the meeting today. We bless thee for the help given to the family as they have taken part in this memorial service. It hasn't been easy for them, but we thank thee for grace given. We thank thee for the word from thy servant that has brought comfort to hearts, a word that has also brought a challenge to us all. We thank thee for the memory of thy servant. We thank thee for the inheritance or the heritage that he's left behind, a good testimony, a good man. And we ask of thee, Lord, to remember his family circle and friends, people that he's prayed for many a long day. We pray that those prayers will be answered, that the family will be united in Christ, that great blessing will come upon the family circle, even through the ministry of thy word this day. Now may the blessing of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon all our hearts in these days. We ask these things in the Saviour's name. Amen. Will the congregation please stand?